Hey everyone, Monday Night Pod, Tyler and Fenske, we're in week two of our Q&A questions.
Yeah, so the first one that we got tonight was a really good question. Kid asked, how do I know the Lord is speaking to me? And the reason why this is so important is because much of your life trajectory and most of your effectiveness as a believer will come from, can you hear the Lord and can you discern the Lord's will for you? His purpose for your life, right? And so it's really important to learn how to know that the Lord is speaking to you and how to hear his voice. The first point I made tonight is that the Lord gave us the Holy Spirit, right? John 14, Jesus talks and says, and I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. He goes on to say in verse 26, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. He goes on and says, he will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. He will bring glory to me by taking it from what is mine, making it known to you. Understanding the Spirit, again, John 17, he says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth, right? So understand that the Spirit will always back Scripture, right?
Correct.
And so it's so important to know Scripture so that you can hear the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit's not going to prompt you on Scripture that you don't know, right? And so Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, in perfect will. So much of what the Lord's already spoken, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, is in the Bible. It's in the Word of God. And if you can develop the discipline of reading the Word of God, then you will know his Word, you will know truth, and beyond that, you will know the Lord's character, right? And so even when you come across situations and circumstances where you want insight and you want the Lord's word on it, it might not say exactly what school you should go to or what person you should marry or what job you should take. But if you're in the word, you'll know his character. And eventually, I likened it to building up a spiritual muscle.
Yeah.
You'll build up that muscle of hearing his word. Right. And I think, the main problem that, we have as a society today is that we don't really think anymore. Right, we don't spend time in silence. We don't spend time seeking the Lord. Right, so while the Lord says, "If you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you,"
yeah,
we're just not taking that first step in that daily discipline of actually drawing near to Him, so He can speak to us and He can reveal Himself to through Scripture. The Word of God is living and active, right? Understand, the Lord is a jealous God, so He's not going to compete with any idol that you put over him. He's not going to force his way through the noise, right? Yes. And so it's important to develop that habit, develop that discipline of, one, I'm in the word, I'm renewing my mind through the word, I'm spending time in prayer, I'm listening. And over time, you'll develop that like sixth sense of, oh yeah, that's the Spirit. Oh yeah, that's God's voice. And to confirm that, the last point I made on how to know the Lord speaking to you, he'll confirm it through other believers, right? 1 Corinthians 13 tells us we know in part and we also prophesy in part, right? So the same Holy Spirit that you've been given has been given to your brother and sister in Christ. And through asking them to join you in praying about this and seeking the Lord's wisdom on this, if you cry out, you'll receive it. If you seek it, you will find it. Through that, you know in part what you prophesy in part. You will come to the same conclusion, you will come to the same word, because we have the same Holy Spirit within us, right? So through Scripture, through the Holy Spirit, time reading, time praying, and also confirmation through other believers, that's how you know that the Lord is speaking to you.
And you made a good point tonight. You know, how do I get the Holy Spirit? Ask. Right? Jesus tells us in Luke 11, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Mm-hmm. And you made a really good point where it's just the, I think you gave the example. What was it? The guy you knew, he couldn't walk his dog for even 5 minutes. What was that?
Yeah. So a guy I knew, he would try to have like quiet time just by like going out for a walk.
Right.
Leave his phone at home and he'd just be taking the dog around the block and literally couldn't make it 5 minutes through that. Just because, you know, whether it's vices, the phone, TikTok, whatever, literally couldn't make it through that. It was literally torture to him to be in his thoughts for 5 minutes, one day at a time. You know, and I think that's just where, unfortunately, that's the baseline. That's not uncommon for kids these days. That's the baseline experience for people. They are so inundated with vices and the phone that...
Yeah. Which is often intertwined.
It's all intertwined, yeah. Uh-huh. And so there's just no opportunity for freedom, you know. And you know, it definitely gives access to the demonic to just overtake their brain, you know, overtake their thoughts and influences. And you know, it creates this huge uphill battle to, okay, now I can just be alone in my thoughts, let alone ask the Lord for wisdom and insight.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you have. You know, you've spoken this before, but there's an issue where you have people who are saved, but they're not maturing in the faith. They're not growing up. They're still at an infant level in the faith. And obviously the word talks about that, right? Just maturing in the faith. But the problem is because there's not that just consistency of having a quiet time and learning to hear from the Spirit and developing just a spirit of wisdom and discernment, you know, that comes from the Spirit, right? You know, you said in John 17, such a good section there. But in John 16, the Lord says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth." It's a powerful promise. Guide you into all truth. Yeah. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things. Right, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment, for who has known the mind of God that he may instruct him, right? But we have been given the mind of Christ. Okay, so it's a powerful thing in your life, but if you're not hearing from the Spirit, then yeah, you're just walking as somebody carnal. You're walking as someone in the flesh where you're just guessing.
Yeah.
You know, you're going off of culture, feelings, emotions. What did my parents do in this situation? You know, learned behavior.
Yeah.
And it is, you know, you're maybe missing out on the will of God.
Yeah. And trial and error that you really don't have time for. And, right. And pain and consequences that you really don't want to pay.
Yes.
You know, and the Lord's loving and he wants to spare you from that. He like you read earlier, like if my son asks for something, like, am I going to give him something different? You know, if he asks for fish, am I going to give him this? You know, it's like, but we're not asking and we're not seeking him and we're not putting him first. And there are a lot of believers, Christians out there that are still on milk. Mm-hmm. And Lord's saying, hey, it's not supposed to stay this way. I'm calling you to get to meat, but you still have free will. You have to get there, right?
Right, yeah.
You have to put in some effort. You have to put in some sweat. Mm-hmm. There needs to be some discipline behind this. And I promise you, if you draw near to me, I will be right there with you. Mm-hmm. Just draw near. Be humble enough to draw near and be humble enough to cry out. Everyone who cries out for wisdom, you will find it, right? So it's just being humble enough and disciplined enough to really desire the Lord's will over your own, and understand that his ways are way better and his plans are way better than we could even have for ourselves. And from there, you know, that spiritual muscle, it grows. That it might feel painful in the beginning, but it's worth it in the end because it'll only grow. It'll only get stronger and it could save your life, right? And it could change your life, because instead of making the wrong choices, you'll make the right ones and you'll truly have life to the full, like Jesus talks about in John.
Yeah, very, very important points there. So that was the first question we covered. The second one was, rich man and Lazarus, how could everyone before Jesus be going to heaven when the rich man is in Hades. Notice I wrote Hades and not hell. So this is referencing Luke 16. Okay, the rich man and Lazarus. Okay, and hopefully if you're at home and you got your Bible, or you're already familiar with this. So to quickly summarize this, you got a rich man, okay, and you got the beggar named Lazarus who is laid at his gate. Okay, they both die. The rich man ends up in hell, Hades. Okay, and then Lazarus is in heaven. Okay, the rich man then has this conversation with Abraham, okay, where he starts with saying, "Have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm agony in this fire." That was the first thing that we covered tonight. Was that, I mean, you know, you talk about hell, and that's a scary place, right? But it's a place apart from God. And you may look at the circumstances of your life and be bitter about them, or be upset, or feel that think this should be like that, right? There are many, many good things in your life right now. Many things to be thankful for. Okay, the Bible tells you be thankful in all circumstances, right? And every good and perfect gift comes from above. There's a lot of things that God is holding together in your life right now. Okay? There's a lot of things that you experience on a day-to-day basis that people in hospitals are crying out to God for, that you take for granted, right? And there's a lot being held together by the Lord. Now you have a place that is completely devoid of God. So miserable that the place is literally on fire. Mm. And that's hell. And who taught the most about hell was Jesus. Because if you love people and you are calling them to repentance, okay, as the Lord does, the last thing that you would ever want for them would be to be separated from the love of God into this place that is literally on fire. Mm. Right? This is a sobering verses here, right? But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here and you are in agony." Right? Not everything is going to get balanced on the scales in this life. Okay, so you may think, why is this person getting that and I'm not getting it? Or why is he getting that and he's getting this? And it doesn't seem fair. And it doesn't seem that, you know, God is balancing everything out. It may be that it's not going to perfectly balance out in this lifetime. But in the judgment, it will. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you feel like you're doing such a great job and you're doing such good things and you're such a good person, okay, there will be a judgment.
It'll all be brought to the light.
Right.
You're not getting away with it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that should be sobering also for you, that if you really feel like you deserve something that somebody else has, are you really that righteous? Because you're going to get judged too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." There's so much in there, mm-hmm. but he's saying, simply the Old Testament should be enough mm-hmm. for you.
Yeah.
Okay? And then if that's not enough, then someone even rising from the dead, as Jesus did, mm-hmm. would not be enough for you, even which to this day, many reject the word of God, right? Though Jesus rose from the dead, mm-hmm. right? So there's a lot in this section of scripture. I'm guessing that this question comes from, so how could everyone before Jesus be going to heaven when the rich man is in Hades? I am thinking that where this is coming from is Acts 17, okay, where Paul's talking to the men of Athens, and gives some backstory here. And then in verse 29 says, therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. Okay. Then you could also, here is John 15, where verse 22, Jesus said, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. So I'm guessing that's where this question comes from. Okay. Now, if you go to 2 Peter 2, though, okay. So in 2 Peter chapter 2, you get some, starting here in verse 4. Okay, so it says, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if he condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, okay, and then it also references Lot, verse 9, if this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority. So it's giving several references there from the Old Testament, mm-hmm. right, of judgment brought on people before Jesus. I would say the most prominent example of that would be Psalm 95, 1 Corinthians 10. Hebrews 3, where it talks about that generation of Israelites that did not enter God's rest because of their unbelief, okay? Broken off because of unbelief, Romans chapter 11, okay? You can also see then that the gospel was also preached to Gentiles in the Old Testament. Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 4, Naaman, 2 Kings 5, Rahab, Joshua chapter 2. A real prominent one, Nineveh, right? Jonah sent to the city of Nineveh. They repent. Mm-hmm. Okay. That was your major city of that era of BC, right? So you do see these examples here of before Christ where people are being judged, right? Now then you see also that part of the role of the Holy Spirit, John 16, is the Holy Spirit convicts. So once the Holy Spirit was given, right, then there was now there is a greater conviction. There is a call upon all men. Okay. And that's why I think you're getting into Acts 17 and what Jesus said in John as well, right? Where now the Holy Spirit has been given. It's that conviction where he's convicting the world of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the key verse out of all this, I think, would be to look at Luke chapter 12, where in Luke 12, Jesus says in verse 47, that servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Okay, so you see varying judgment there occurring based off of what people knew and what they were exposed to.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, when we go back and we're trying to figure out, you know, what level of judgment then was given to people before Jesus, was it different? I think that's your most applicable verse there is in Luke 12, where just according to what they knew, what they were exposed to. Okay. But I think that it's very true that it is greater light is given at farther distances. So if somebody is, you know, okay, here's like somebody who's sitting at Bible study on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They know, right? They're hearing the word every week.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now here's somebody who maybe is in a culture background where they're not growing up with the Bible or hearing the Bible and it's a little farther. I think God makes himself more known to those people, right? Remember, you have Romans 1, which tells you that simply from opening the front door and looking at nature, you know there's a God. You can see intelligent design.
Mm-hmm.
So right there, there's a call to action there just from looking outside and understanding there is a God. right? Then Acts 17, where we just were, talks about how God is positioning you in the circumstances in your life, the places that you live, and the time set for you to draw you to him. At the same time that the Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin. So whether it doesn't matter where you were born on planet Earth, you know right from wrong. You've been given a conscience.
Mm-hmm.
So that is all a pull on your life so that men are without excuse,
yeah,
as the word says, right? And that, in my opinion, is about as far as you could go. I think from my opinion, as far as you could go and still be maintaining people's free will,
mm-hmm,
right? Because there still has to be free will. That's the model that's been set, is we're not Lego pieces. It's not a world of automata. We have free will. We can do whatever we want. But that is the call that God has then placed upon our lives.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely. Main point of emphasis being, we do live in the time, like where Jesus talks about in that parable, even if a man is raised from the dead, they will still not believe, right? And so understanding that we do live in the time period where we are without excuse, the Holy Spirit has been given out, unlike in a different way than the Old Testament times,
yeah,
right?
Correct.
The Spirit was with God from the beginning, right?
Correct.
But yeah, it's been poured out and given to us,
right,
in a different way since Jesus.
Yes.
Right? So understand, it's a tough question. And a kid asked afterwards, you know, how were you saved? Like, mm-hmm, how were you saved in the Old Testament? That's a deep question. Like, part of us, it's hard to tell exactly, right? We can get clues from different verses, but
yeah,
Jesus Christ, again, is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The Lord desires justice. Like you've pointed out tonight, I think he did have, you know, a sense of compassion on people in Old Testament times, in the fact that they didn't have the Spirit, so they're held to a way less standard than us.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we were put on this earth at this time, in this place, for a reason, right?
Correct.
So understand, like you mentioned tonight, today is the day for salvation.
Yes.
Right? If you hear that
today,
voice.
Today, if you hear his voice.
If yeah, you hear that voice, today is the day to be saved, right? There's no reason to put it off. There's no reason to let pride get the best of you.
Mm-hmm.
We all have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. No one is perfect, right? So understand the important point. If you hear his voice, if you feel that conviction, there is salvation offered to you. And we know exactly how to have it these days.
Yeah. That's Psalm 95 that Tyler's referencing. It says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the desert. Exodus 17, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years, I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest.
Mm.
And you can go deeper with that reading in Hebrews chapter 3 and Hebrews chapter 4,
mm-hmm,
which goes very deep on that. But yeah, that is the day of salvation, is today.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. So those are the two questions that we had this past week. Again, this is the Monday Night Pod. Tyler and Fenske.